He's just a rascal. He's just a rascal. He's just a rascal. Dizzy rascal. He's just a rascal. He's just a rascal. He's just a rascal.
Yo, my name is Bubblegum, member of Team Single and the Boy in the Corner, and you are listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner. So yo ho, let's go. I'm a root wet and gargant that. Got this game in my hand like that. Got this game in my hand, be cool. Unstoppable, make up where we lax. I take teeth from the jewels and jacks. We make money off album tracks. Come on, I face it, let's all face facts.
Welcome to episode 92 of the Indie Corner, guys. For you who missed the podcast, all I can say is sorry. There's no real reason why there hasn't been one for ages, you know, why there's been such a gap between shows. I just couldn't get motivated to record them, to be honest with you. And I'm not saying that I'm losing interest in indie wrestling, you know, far from it. But I just wanted to think of, you know, new ideas of how to mix things up. And to be honest, you know, I still haven't, you know. But the thing is, I've been sent some pre-recorded stuff and I felt obliged to do this show. You know, I do need to make a decision for the long term because, you know, it's costing me money whether I do the show or not. I don't have any advertisers on the site, so I have no money coming in unless people buy DVDs from the web shop. But I'm still, you know, paying monthly costs, including hosting the show, Skype payments, and even I have to pay a monthly fee to host the web shop as well. So yeah, in short, you know, a decision needs to be made. But you know, I'll see what you guys think. Okay, you know, just get some plugs out of the way before we get going on with the show. You can interact with us, obviously. You can follow us on Twitter at The Indie Corner or search for us on Facebook and give us a like. That's obviously just The Indie Corner on Facebook. Also, you know, that Indie Corner Facebook page and the Twitter, in fact, you know, you'd be in good company if you follow both accounts. You know, it's followed by some, you know, well-known wrestlers from the UK and the US. So, yeah, give those a follow and a like. Obviously, as well, if you listen to the show via iTunes, you know, if you can go on there and leave us a rating and review, you know, it'll help get the word out there and more people will get to listen, etc. And finally, of course, check out theindiecorner.com. You know, great content going up there on a regular basis. And also, like I say, there are ways on there to support us, banners from Amazon, Highspots, and obviously the Indie Corner web store. Using any or all of these, you know, will help with the running costs of the site and the podcast. Anyway, moving on with the show, as stated, I have some pre-recorded stuff to play, which is Brian the Brain. He sent in a review from PWG's From Out of Nowhere show. It was a couple of weeks ago now, but Brian had some difficulties getting a recording due, but he's sent that over, so we'll play that momentarily. This week as well, you know, PCW have their Road to Glory shows, and I'll be talking a bit about that later on. So what we'll do now then, we won't hang about, we'll get straight into Brian's review of PWG's Out of Nowhere, and then we're back with some news. So in a bit, guys.
The technique is ill, son. Watch how I spill one. He's the Biggie, Tupac, Big L and Big Pun. Havoc on his feet to stay.
Hey, UK wrestling fans, Brian the Brain here with your PWG live report / preview. It's official, I did get a ticket for the April 3rd show, so don't sweat my technique. I did get the ticket indeed, so I was able to get tickets within the first 5 minutes. PWG's selling out quickly now, ladies and gentlemen. It's becoming a sellout within the first 5 minutes. It's crazy that it seems like they're outgrowing the Reseda building, but I don't think they'll never leave because that's part of the charm. So they've even raised ticket prices another $5, so now general admission to a PWG show is $45 American, and front row is now $60, so it's basically competing with almost WWE house show prices, and sold 350 tickets in 5 minutes. 50 or more tickets will be at the door, so good luck to those people who will be waiting from practically 3 p.m. like me and my buddy did, or actually my buddy waited for the From Out of Nowhere show from about 3:30 p.m. to get inside at about 8 p.m. So we were lucky to be able to get in, and again, we were standing next to the women's room because we had to move down. Keep moving down, everyone told us. Keep moving down, and I kept moving down, and I ended up in the women's room, and it was not awkward because I was surrounded by other dudes and other females, and I was always apologizing the whole time, and everyone's like, just, dude, it's not your fault. I'm just like, okay, I'm not a perv. basically, I stood next to the women's room for this PWG show. It was pretty funny. Man, it was quite the show indeed. It was quite the show with debuts up and down the card. You had the opening match with Speedball Mike Bailey and Biff Busick, now regular Biff Busick in PWG. But this match was very good. It wasn't as fast. It wasn't as slow. It was like that right kind of pace. They worked the match well. You know, the big guy, little guy kind of match. I guess that's kind of the typical Mike Bailey match, it seems. This was the second match I've seen out of Mike Bailey. And I like his style, and it's pretty crazy that he can kick so hard with kick pads and no shoes and still make that hard kick sound. It's almost as if he's had shoes on when he kicks people, but he really doesn't, and it's pretty cool. But I love his getup where he comes out with his uniform on and bows, and he's very respectful, and he treats it like a sport, which is kind of refreshing in wrestling. So this was a fun match. You know, Biff Busick, you know, just overpowering him at every turn, doing these crazy spots on the apron and crazy spots from the top, and just Mike Bailey trying to use his speed against the size of Biff Busick, but Biff Busick was able to get the win with the rear naked choke. A very good opener, and I think Mike Bailey's definitely going to have a run in PWG in the coming year, and we'll see where it goes. And he seems to fit the mold for a PWG underdog that can get with the crowd, and the crowd can get behind him. And, you know, his comeback spots were really good, and hopefully we'll see more of him in 2015, so that was really good. And the next match was a singles match between Cedric Alexander and Tommaso Ciampa, two ROH regulars, the two ROH guys who are still able to work PWG shows, so to speak. So, you know, I haven't seen some of their matches in a while, but they have some really innovative offense that kind of pops the crowd a little bit, who kind of expect certain spots, and then when you do fresh, new, innovative spots, it's really refreshing to see, obviously. So good stuff out of these two. Cedric Alexander seems to be getting more crowd support as of late, it seems. More people are getting behind him. He's getting more of a bigger pop than he did, say, I don't know, summer of last year. Maybe it's just a little more charisma. Maybe it's the fact that he comes out to Mambo number 5. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But Cedric Alexander is definitely getting more crowd support. I think this win over Ciampa is going to elevate him a little bit and maybe get him some more high-profile matches down the line. But definitely a really good innovative match between these two, and I think Cedric Alexander is going to get a little bit of a raise in the card. We'll see. Ciampa, on the other hand, is still floating around the bottom tier. We'll see where it goes. He hasn't had a big win in PWG, but he seems to be a regular now. But hopefully we get more of a push at Ciampa in 2015 as well. Just not off to a great start, though. The next match was a comedy match indeed, with Trent and Chuck Taylor, the best friends, against Beaver Boys, John Silver and Alex Reynolds. I really don't watch Alex Reynolds and John Silver matches, but they really surprised me here. It's kind of weird, though. Alex Reynolds looked like Roderick Strong. Like, I got confused for a second because I literally thought it was Roderick Strong in the ring. He had his hair cut like Roderick Strong. He looks like Roderick Strong. Same tights as Roderick Strong, practically. But it was a little off-putting, but once he started doing the vulgar adult kind of comedy, it kind of, you know, made you realize, okay, this is not Roderick Strong, this is a completely different dude. But John Silver was pretty interesting as well, because, I mean, he's probably like 5'5", 5'6", and yet he's pretty jacked for his size at 5'5", 5'6", and he's able to do these power moves on Chuck Taylor and Trent, who are bigger than him, and still, John Silver just acts like he's the biggest man on the planet, and just throws people around, and it's pretty funny. So I really like his gimmick. A very funny gimmick indeed, and it's probably going to lead to some good comedy matches down the line with other bigger guys, and with Candice LeRae at the next show, because that'll be pretty interesting as well. This had a lot of high spots, crazy double teams, and just, you know, weird comedy as you expect from a Chuck Taylor match, and there was even simulated masturbation that kind of ended with a rag, and that's all I'm going to say. It was pretty. Pretty awkward at times, but pretty funny, I guess. I mean, the crowd was into it, so, I mean, it's not weird. It's wrestling. this was fun. It ended with a double chokeslam on Reynolds. You know, it's obvious that these guys are going to come back because they fit that mold of having the mix of comedy and good double teams spots in the match and some good comebacks in the match. So we'll see probably the Beaver Boys return. I mean, they're obviously returning for the next show, and I think they're probably one of the teams that enter DDT 4. We'll see where it goes from there. I predict that they'll probably get the upset win on Joey and Candice at the next show, and then go on to get a rematch for the titles in the opening round of DDT 4, and then Candice and Joey can get their win back. But that's how I would book the Beaver Boys going into DDT 4 and, you know, beyond 2015 for PWG. So I think they're going to be mainstays just because they kind of fit that mold. So, I mean, they blended well with Chuck and Trent, so I can only imagine the other matches they can have with the other guys in PWG, so I think they're going to stay. ACH defeated AR Fox. This was, as you know, both guys are loved by the fans, so this was awesome. People love ACH to death. People love AR Fox almost as much. Just, you know, right off the bat, just crazy, crazy dives, crazy, crazy spots. I mean, what do you expect from these two? Just so much charisma from ACH in this match. And, of course, because of what happened to Bola, he's now Stone Cold ACH to many people in PWG. So, of course, I guess his finisher in PWG is the stunner that leads to something else. But he did hit the stunner, and then he got the win with a deadlift German. So, a very fun match to go in intermission, and one of the highlights of the show for sure. I mean, ACH is probably going to get a PWG title shot soon. I think it's inevitable. He hasn't had a shot before, and he's got the crowd behind him all the time. And I think an ACH title match will really, really bring some drama out of the crowd for a main event. So I predict ACH, probably Roderick Strong, title match down the line. So that's what I think. After intermission, we had Chris Hero versus Drew Gulak. A lot of great leg work here around Chris Hero's left ankle. The finish worked around that. Basically, they did the Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero spot where at SummerSlam, where Eddie Guerrero loosened up, not just SummerSlam, but the WrestleMania match as well, where Eddie Guerrero loosened up the boot after Gulak was after Angle worked on it, and basically played into the finish where the ankle lock got reversed because the boot came off. And the same thing happened here with Hero. He loosened up this boot, and I noticed, hey man, why is he loosening up his laces halfway through the match? And then it played into the finish because as soon as Gulak went for the ankle lock again, basically Hero slipped out because his boot came off. And then it led to Hero getting a comeback and hitting a pile driver for a win. And it's pretty cool. I mean, Hero with an old school pile driver. I know pile drivers are very taboo in wrestling nowadays, but it's nice to see an old school kind of finish with some old school kind of wrestlers. You know, it wasn't overkill with the finish. It was basically an old school kind of match where it was just storytelling around a certain body part, with some comebacks and whatnot, and Gulak playing a cocky kind of heel, you know, trying to be stiff and out-technical wrestle Chris Hero, basically. But a good showing for both, and I think Drew Gulak is probably going to come back and do some more singles, but I think he should do more of a tag run with Biff Busick. I think they click really well as a tag team. They clicked really well at Bola last year when they tagged, so I think Gulak and Busick should team up more. We'll see what happens down the line. I think there could be a team for DDT 4. So, the next match was just incredible, as you would expect. Ricochet defeated Matt Sydal. I mean, what can you say? You know, I think Dave Meltzer said it best when it was just as good as any, you know, WWE pay-per-view match or any kind of pay-per-view match. Just incredible high-flying, just incredible spots. The crowd was, you know, just so into it. Just a crazy, crazy match. He hit the finish was really cool because I haven't seen this before. But Ricochet basically did a Bloody Sunday, but the reverse Bloody Sunday into like a sit down pin. It was pretty cool. You'd expect something like a high flying kind of finish, but they actually did more of a strong style kind of you know, suplex kind of finish. So that was pretty interesting. The next match, of course, the Young Bucks defeating the Monster Mafia, Josh Alexander and Ethan Page. With Dave Meltzer in the house, obviously, this was pretty interesting. Of course, you knew off the bat that, like, okay, the finish has got to be the Meltzer driver. And, you know, the Bucks are just going to be either looking at Meltzer or Meltzer's going to do something or stand up or something. But it ended up being, like, you know, the typical Young Bucks match, making both teams look good, taking bumps for Monster Mafia, making them look good, making Josh Alexander look like a beast at times, Ethan Page looking like a great tag team wrestler. I didn't realize Ethan Page was so tall. I mean, damn, he was taller than both Bucks, and I think he was almost as tall as Josh Alexander, and Josh Alexander's a pretty tall dude as well, so a great showing for both. Alexander and Page, they definitely got over with the crowd. They're definitely going to make a strong run in 2015, I bet, and you know, there's a lot more to come from those two, but of course the finish was the Meltzer driver, as Nick Jackson blew a kiss to Dave Meltzer. And of course, you know, it had to happen, and only in PWG can something like this happen, so it's pretty cool. The main event came, Roderick Strong defeated Trevor Lee. A lot of people thought Trevor Lee should have won the belt. A lot of people thought that Trevor Lee, you know, they should have pulled the trigger on Trevor Lee here. But I guess they're just building to, you know, another match. I mean, Misawa didn't win the Triple Crown on his first try. Austin didn't win the belt on his first try. You know, a lot of people, or a lot of strong baby faces usually don't win the world title on their first try, so it's kind of not really a surprise here. So, but they did tease the package pile driver twice, which I've been predicting for the last year, ever since he faced off with Kevin Steen. They've been teasing it. It seemed like they were going to hit it here because he tried it twice, and it just didn't happen. But I'm telling you, people, once Trevor Lee hits the package pile driver, he's going to win the belt. And I think it's got to happen. I mean, this proves it's got to happen now because they teased it twice. Trevor Lee seems to be the guy that everyone wants the PWG title on right now because of the crowd reaction, and because he's kind of this guy that no one's really getting behind right now in any other indies except maybe the Carolinas. And, you know, this would be a major push for the guy and a major run for the guy. And Trevor Lee, it doesn't seem he's like quite there yet, but it seems like in a few months he will be there. And I think a rematch at probably the anniversary show would be really, really cool. And I think people getting behind Trevor Lee at the anniversary show and building up to this big moment where he, 1 year after he defeats Kevin Steen, defeats the world champion with Kevin Steen's own move, the package pile driver, and then adopts the move as his own finisher as a world champion. I think that's a great story to tell. And I think Trevor Lee is the PWG world champion, winning it at an anniversary show would be awesome. But in the meantime, you got to build him up again, which is why he's starting back at the bottom. At the next show, he's going to face Speedball Mike Bailey in a undercard match, and he's going to work his way to the top again. And I don't mind that, because anytime you lose a title match, you obviously got to work it back up again. So I think Trevor Lee losing here is a good thing in the long run, because you tease that, and you tease that he's got the potential to do it, and he came close here. And there was times at the end of the match I was a little, you know, a little nervous, because anytime I get a little nervous, it means I really don't know when the finish is coming or what the finish is. That's the kind of the good part of wrestling, I guess. Sometimes when it's too predictable, it's, you know, it's not as exciting. When you don't know what's going to happen in the last 5 minutes, that's when it gets really interesting, and you just, you know, you kind of the suspension of disbelief kicks in, and it kind of did for me in the last 5 minutes. So I probably will like this title match a lot more than most people, just because of the storytelling and me doing the whole prediction for the last year, the package pile driver, and coming this close to seeing it come to fruition. It's pretty cool, but it just means they're building it up more, and hopefully I think the anniversary show would be the show to do it at. After the match, Roderick Strong obviously won with an Orange Crush backbreaker. Trevor Lee came really close to winning many times, but still a great match here. Strong gets on the mic after the match and challenges Zack Sabre Jr., who was announced for the April 3rd show, which is now called Don't Sweat the Technique, which is pretty awesome. But he challenged him, and now that's going to be the main event for April 3rd for the world title, Roderick Strong versus Zack Sabre Jr. And I was able to get a ticket within the first 5 minutes. I was one of the first 350 people to get a ticket. I got lucky, and to all those who didn't get a ticket, good luck. We're all counting on you. But really quickly, to run down the card for Don't Sweat the Technique on Friday, April 3rd. As I already said, Roderick Strong challenges Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. So that's going to be for the PWG World title. And Roderick Strong is going to have another probably awesome match here with Zack Sabre Jr. And as you know, Zack Sabre Jr. had a hell of a run, or a hell of a showing at Bola last year. And people are clamoring to have him back. And this match might steal the show. Zack Sabre Jr. tended to steal the show many a time at Bola last year. So we'll see what happens here, but I think it's going to steal the show. To open the show, we're going to have ACH against Tommaso Ciampa, two of those people who we were talking about earlier, where I think Tommaso Ciampa needs a big win, but it seems like ACH is probably going to get a title shot. So I got to go with ACH going over Tommaso Ciampa here. And then Biff Busick versus Brian Cage. Brian Cage is having probably the best year of his wrestling career ever. I mean, Mr. Lucha Underground, Cage, you know, he's not a man, a machine, you know, kind of thing going on. And yeah, man, Brian Cage, I think he's going to get the win here. And I think it would be a cool idea to put give Brian Cage a world title match as well if they could squeeze it in before the anniversary show. But just based on his run at Lucha Underground right now, or maybe even do, maybe even tease Ricochet and Brian Cage and PWG and kind of play off of that. But maybe I'm just thinking too ahead of myself. But I got to go with Brian Cage getting the win over Biff Busick here. And then we got Trevor Lee and Mike Bailey. As I said before, Trevor Lee is probably going to win to build up another title match. He's going to have to get some big wins before the anniversary show if he wants the challenge again, because I think Trevor Lee and Roderick Strong will definitely have a rematch at the anniversary show. I'm almost certain of it, because that would be the perfect moment for Trevor Lee to win the world title. So I think right here, you know, Mike Bailey will probably do the whole thing where he's, an underdog trying to get his win in PWG and probably work his way through a couple shows before he gets his first win. So here I think it would be a great showing for both, and Trevor Lee getting the win in an exciting match. Monster Mafia returns against Chris Sabin and Matt Sydal. I think this is kind of like a DDT4 preview. Even though DDT4 is not officially announced yet, I feel it's going to come back in May. That's just my feeling. But, you know, this is going to be a great match, too. The size is going to be interesting because Paige and Alexander are much bigger than these two, so I think that's going to come into play in the match, and I think that's going to be part of the story of the match, and this is going to be a very fun match. Andrew Everett versus Ricochet. I mean, what can you say? This will be, I don't know, how many dives can you have in a match, you know? This might pop it in terms of how many dives you can have in a single match. I mean, Andrew Everett stole the show when he debuted last year with Trevor Lee and Cedric Alexander in that three-way in Mystery Vortex 2. Unfortunately, he got injured and hasn't been back in about a year, so this is a big return. He's probably excited and ready and taking on one of the most, one of the biggest names in indie wrestling right now, Ricochet, just because of the fact that, kayfabe, Lucha Underground, kayfabe kind of thing going on, you know? Ricochet is having probably the best run of his career right now, and Andrew Everett coming back from that injury, I think this is the perfect time for Andrew Everett to have a big impact in PWG and give him a big run in 2015. Maybe even go as far as giving Andrew Everett an upset win here. You never know. This one's up in the air, in my opinion, just because it's the fact that you got a young up-and-comer who was just like Ricochet 4 years ago in PWG trying to make a big impact. So you never know. An upset win could be in the works here in this match. Tommy Yen versus Chris Hero. I really am not familiar with Tommy Yen, unfortunately, but I will be probably by the time the show comes around. So it's kind of nice to see this Euro invasion coming to PWG in this particular show, which is going to be really fun to see. And then the tag title, or it's non-title actually, excuse me, the World's Cutest Tag Team return after their European vacation against the Beaver Boys, Alex Reynolds and John Silver. As I said earlier, I think this is a perfect opportunity to get the Beaver Boys over to a certain extent by having another upset win here and then doing a rematch in the opening round of DDT4 with the titles on the line and giving the World's Cutest Tag Team their win back. I think that would be the best booking, and that way you get the Beaver Boys over as sort of a threat by beating the champs in a non-title match. That's where I would go with it. So that's the card for Don't Sweat the Technique. I was able to get a ticket. I mean, my God, PWG is becoming one of the hottest tickets in wrestling right now, in indie wrestling, I should say. I mean, back in the day, 2007, 2008, I mean, I started going in 2006, and it was $20 a show, and there was no online ticketing. It was just tickets at the door, tickets at the door. And then all of a sudden, things change, and then, you know, you can start to buy tickets online, and then tickets became $30, and the tickets became $35, and the tickets became $40, and then now we're at $45 general admission. But it's definitely, you know, in terms of, like, the same price as, like, a Raw house show, this is probably better. So, or a WWE house show, I should say. But definitely, it's going to be fun April 3rd. I got tickets, so I'll be doing another live report around that time. And thanks for listening, and talk to you again soon. Peace.
For those that murdered me shall stand before God, to fall at the hands of faith, then out comes the rod.
Thanks to Brian for that. As I said before Brian's review, we know we'll get on to some news now. Starting with Progress, you know, they're back on March 22nd, and this week they've announced two more matches for that show, including two new guys to the roster. First off, Big Damo from, you know, ICW fame will be debuting to face the runner-up from this year's Natural Progression series, and that's going to be Zach Diamond Gibson. And talking of the Natural Progression Series, the winner, Flash Morgan Webster, will take on the second debutant for Progress this time around, and that's the one and only Bubblegum. I know many are happy to see Bubblegum, including me, you know, come to Progress. So yeah, should be a good one indeed. And after seeing Big Damo live at the ICW show against Dave Mastiff, I'm excited, you know, to see him in that environment as well. But I do have to say, you know, I wonder what the crowd will have in store for him. But we just have to wait and see. Tickets are sold out, of course, for the March 22nd show. But pay attention to Progress on Twitter and on Facebook. They have a waiting list, and I'll be posting a link soon for when return tickets will be available. Moving on, the Indie Corner are officially the official sponsor of the Hull Wrestling Kings of Flight show on April 17th in Derby. Kings of Flight itself will be a 10-man like cruiserweight type tournament. A couple of weeks ago on the Facebook page, I exclusively announced all the competitors, who are as follows: Robert X, Al Ligero, Pete Dunne, Chris Tyler, Bubblegum, Lee Hunter, Danny Chase, Jim Hunter, Ryan Smile, and someone who will be making his debut in Hulk Wrestling, MK McKinnon. As of recording this, two of the first round matches, or quarterfinals if you like, have been announced on the Facebook page, and these are Al Ligero against Bubblegum, of course sometime partners in Hubba Bubba Lucha, and Pete Dunne against Ryan Smile. You know, both exciting looking matches. The next to be announced will be Thursday night, so pay attention to the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ the Indie Corner to keep an eye out for that. For tickets and more news on Hulk Wrestling, head over to hulkwrestling.co.uk. And before that show, they have Evolution 20, subtitled Put On Your War Paint, at the Forest Town Welfare Club in Mansfield on April the 10th. The card would include Sabu, Mason Ryan, Jack Jester and more. I look more closely into that card as the date becomes near. Again, head over to hulkwrestling.co.uk for tickets and details. This coming Sunday, IPW UK return to the Angel Centre in Tonbridge, and they've announced the London Riots will be facing the Sumerian Death Squad. And on that note, you know, congrats to former guest of the show, Tommy End of the Sumerian Death Squad, on winning the recent WXW 16 Karat Gold tournament. More on the IPW show a bit later on. Just want to have a little talk about something that's sort of indie related. You know, the WWE have began to take their, you know, NXT roster out on tour, and on their website they put out a survey asking fans what, if any, independents do they watch, and they like supplied a list of promotions over there. No promotions were mentioned, no UK promotions should say were mentioned in there, I suppose because the touring would consist of, you know, the United States. But, you know, of course many they've taken, you know, loads of top stars from the indies, like Pac, who's Adrian Neville, Ali Generico, who is Sami Zayn, Kevin Steen, who of course is Kevin Owens, and of course Prince Devitt, who works there now as Finn Balor. And the rumours, you know, once again of, you know, WWE dipping into the indies, and Ring of Honor's Briscoe brothers are the latest guys to be apparently heading there. Plus, after leaving TNA and doing some indie dates, Samoa Joe is in talks with them too. I think, was it 25th of April, something along that lines. He's got no bookings after the 25th of April, so, you know, that's pointing towards he could be heading to NXT. So, yeah, you know, no matter who they take from the indies, you know, there'll always be, you know, more great talent out there for us to watch, because, you know, there's always guys cropping up, and there's a lot of guys that, you know, don't get seen on the bigger indies and probably are under the radar at the moment. And, you know, when these top-notch indies like Ring of Honor, PWG and stuff like that, you know, lose guys, I suppose they're, you know, they'll be looking elsewhere for people to use. So, you know, much like the likes of Trevor Lee, who had a storming 2014, and he's starting 2015, has been good as well. You know, he seemed to come out of nowhere from like what you'd call minor league indies, but to have a great impact on PWG shows. So I imagine there's a lot of gems like that across the United States. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So, you know, indie fans like you, I guess, for listening, and like myself, you know, we've got to brace ourselves again to see who this time is going to leave the Indies and go to the WWE development system. So, okay, guys, a quick break, and then I'll take a look at the PCW Road to Glory show. Well, starting with the first one, which is Friday, obviously. And then we'll get on with looking at the IPW show also for this coming weekend. So, back in a bit, guys.
Hello, 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 this is Noam Dar, the Great Khali's best pal, and you're listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner.
And I'm back, guys. Like I said, you know, this weekend PCW will be holding their annual Road to Glory tournament, starting on Friday night. You know, I've done all I can do, really. So obviously not knowing what's going to happen in the first round is look at night one. So some great matches coming up on night one, and also, you know, just want to get in there that, you know, it's the first comeback match of Lionheart Adrian McCollum. You know, he was unfortunate to have that injury just over, was it 12 months ago now, but you know, put himself through an intense training regime, so to get him back ready for this comeback, and it's going to be great to see the big man back in the ring doing what he does best. I personally, you know, want to congratulate him for bouncing back, and I wish him all the best. So we'll talk about, like I say, the tournament matches now. 16 man tournament, 8 matches. We'll get on to it. So these are in no order. I don't know how they're going to pan out on the night, what match will be first, or, you know, and whoever's in the first match, does the winner face the winner of the second match? I don't know how PCW are going to do it, so I'll just go through the list of matches how I've got them, and I'll, you know, give some views, of course. So PJ Black, who used to work as Justin Gabriel in the WWE, will be over making his PCW debut. Before he went to WWE, I believe he spent a lot of time over here, maybe working for All Star as well, so he's no stranger to work in UK indie, shall we say. So yeah, it'd be good to see PJ Black over here in the UK. He's going to go up against UK's very own luchador El Ligero. You know, it should be a very good match indeed. You know, everyone knows how hard Ligero works, and, you know, followers of PJ Black, Justin Gabriel, whatever, we know, you know, that his you know, moveset is very very exciting to watch, so it should be a good match. One half of the current PCW tag team champions, T-Bone, was set to take on former WWE star Alberto El Patron, the former Alberto Del Rio, but, you know, there was rumours about him having an injury, and PCW, I think it was today, may have been yesterday, I'm not sure, announced that, you know, because of that injury, he won't be coming over to the UK now this time around, just because of that injury. So, you know, they've had to look for a replacement, and I believe that replacement is he's again another former WWE star in Carlito. So yeah, be an interesting match indeed. Let's wait to see how that one transpires. The other half of the tag team champions, Rampage Brown, will be taking on, you know, the highly decorated Matt Hardy. Hardy, of course, you know, has won many tag team titles with his brother Jeff, but has also had, you know, an accomplished career as a singles wrestler. So this should be you know, interesting battle indeed. John Morrison will be returning to PCW as well. The one PCW show I have actually made it to feature John Morrison. He was in there against Noam Dar. It was a Festive Fury show, I believe it was 2012. That was a really good match indeed. And this time around, he's gone up against the you know, the exciting high flyer, the aerial assassin, Will Ospreay. You know, Morrison's currently a main character on the Lucha Underground show over in the US, where he works as Johnny Mundo. And each week he's on, you know, he's always involved in stellar encounters. Osprey over here in the UK, week in and week out, wherever he wrestles, you know, usually has the match of the night. And I think on this night, Friday night, this coming week, it will be very close to that again in there with Morrison. Should be a great match. As I mentioned earlier, you know, Lionheart makes his in-ring comeback, and he's gone up against Joey Hayes. I mean, there's history with these two guys, and, you know, this will make for a fiery encounter. And, of course, you know, it's going to be emotional for Lionheart with it being his comeback match. In a battle of the heavyweights, everybody's favourite bastard, Dave Mastiff, will be squaring off against the East End Butcher, Shaw Samuels. Not a first-time match, but, you know, sure to be a hard-hitting encounter. PCW Cruiserweight Champion Bubblegum will be taking on Ashton Smith. Bubblegum, you know, always a crafty one, and I'm guessing he'll be hoping to get one over the relative newcomer to PCW, Smith. Like always with Bubblegum, I imagine, you know, it's going to be a, you know, very entertaining affair. And the final first round match will feature Martin Kirby. His opponent, you know, was left in the balance for a while, and I thought he'd be announced on the night as a mystery opponent type thing, but he has been announced today, I believe. That's the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. So yeah, another great match for Martin Kirby there in PCW, seeing the independent veteran, shall we say, Chris Daniels up in PCW. So yeah, that's the tournament. Other guys set to appear, I believe, on that night, if not the second night for sure. Current PCW champion UHA Nation, former champion Chris Masters, and former WWE superstar Eugene as well. So that's it, guys. Road to Glory 2015. You know, I'd say, me personally, probably the biggest one ever. If there are any remaining tickets, you better try and snap them up as soon as you can. Head over to PrestonCityWrestling.com. One, like I say, to see if they're available, and two, to pick them up. So I'm moving on now for the final part of the show. I mentioned earlier the London Riots are going to be going up against Samoan Death Squad this coming Sunday in Tonbridge for IPW UK. And other matches on the card are going to be seeing the following. It's going to be a 30-man battle royal for the All England Championship. So whoever wins that battle royal, you know, will be the new All England Champion. In a singles match, again, an exciting one featuring Will Ospreay. He'll be going up against Chris Sabin. In a six-man tag, strange encounter, which is going to see Johnny Storm, Jimmy Havoc, and Vince Russo go up against Jody Fleisch, Grado, and Eugene. Yeah, strange one indeed, that one. And for the IPW UK World Championship, or world title, I should say, current champion Bad Bones from WXW will be taking on Dave Mastiff. Sure to be a, you know, solid stiff match, strong style, if you like, type of match that will be very good. I'll be looking for the show on DVD for sure. I want to see Will Ospreay, Chris Sabin, and obviously that match, and just to see the craziness that comes out in that six-man tag match featuring Vince Russo. Obviously he's had a few issues over in the US himself with his website, etc., but that's all well documented on the internet if anyone wants to find out what that's about. So yeah, that's it for this week, guys. Hopefully back next week. Be great if I could, think of something that will make the show a bit different. But if not, I'll just come back and give you some show, one form or another. Like I say, if you want the Indie Corner to carry on, let me know. Give me some feedback on Twitter, Facebook, email, or whatever. You know, if it's a show that you want to continue to listen to, let me know. It's pointless me carry on doing the show, regardless of my love for independent wrestling, you know, if no one's listening or no one really cares. So yeah, let me know. Thanks for Brian DeBrain for providing the review from the PWG show, and I'll see you all soon, guys. Take care. We'll be right back.
Justice attached to my